Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. He loves us so much that He cares about each and every one of us. Beyond the way we think and what we do. As long as we're alive, He attempts to get us saved. He attempts to get us to believe on Jesus Christ. The Lord has called many people to preach His word. And He anointed them to spread the gospel, to preach the gospel to every creature. He anoints people to teach His word. He anoints people to pastor, to help His people grow. He anoints evangelists to help get people saved. He anoints apostles to help the church with order so that it can grow like it should. Jesus gave a parable of a fruit tree that didn't bear good fruit. It didn't bear fruit. And the landowner was going to cut it down. And the servant said, well, before we cut it down, let's fertilize it. Let's trim it, fertilize it, and give it another chance. And the landowner was good to do that. He said, okay, we'll do it. Jesus came to save us. The Lord wants to do us good. The prophets come to encourage. Apostles come to help do all the offices that God would call them to do. There are five types of ministers: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In American traditions, people just look at the pastors and the evangelists. And some churches say, well, God quit calling people to be prophets and apostles, but that's not true. He gave those five offices to the church to help restore His people. Unless we seek the Lord, whatever God give us to do, we seek Him and we do it, it will work. If we do something else, or if we fall into the modes of tradition, we can't help people like we're designed to. But at the end of the day, the Lord loves every soul. While the Lord loves us and He's trying to save us and educate us in His ways, Satan's trying to tear all of us down. He wants us to remain disconnected from the knowledge of God. Because when people get saved, they have all the rights of the kingdom of God at their will. They're in the kingdom of God and they have all the rights and privileges of those in heaven. And if they live according to God's word, they can display the life of heaven here on earth. So the enemy starts attacking us at our life and the way we live. He wants to replace love with lust, love with hate, faith with fear and doubt. Anything that won't work, that's what he tries to ease into our lives at a slow pace so that we can't detect it. In the scriptures, it would say, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. And that means nothing to most people in earth today. Because we buy our food more than we prepare our food. Now, cooks know what leaven is. Especially cooks that have studied the Word of God. Leaven is yeast. Yeast is the ingredient that makes your bread rise in the oven. What Jesus was saying was, you can take a little leaven and put it in a barrel of flour, a pinch of leaven, a pinch of yeast, and drop it in a barrel of flour and put the lid back on it. Over time, the whole thing will be yeast. Because yeast is like a germ. It spreads and it infects. Now, it's fine for cooking. It's not, you know, all germs ain't bad. But the example is, it takes a little bit of corruption to corrupt a life. So, the enemy, when you believe in God, he's trying to get you to doubt. Because it doesn't take but a little bit of doubt to stop a little bit of faith or a great faith. The rules of faith are this, is this. Jesus said, if you believe and doubt not in your heart, you will ask what you will and it will be done. In fact, he said, you can speak to this mountain and it will be moved out and cast into the ocean. A little faith. If you believe and doubt not in your heart, you can ask what you will and it will be done. That's a promise. Every believer has the measure of faith. If you believed on Jesus Christ already, you have faith because the reason you believed on Jesus was because you heard his word and you believed it and you asked for salvation and you confessed that you believed on Jesus Christ and you're saved. And you still have that same faith. And God gave it to you. And when people minister, preach the word to you, they're giving you faith. When people preach salvation, you have faith for salvation, if you believe it. When people preach healing, you can have faith for healing. When people preach that you can prosper in the Lord, you can have faith that you can prosper. And we need all these wonderful blessings of God. And when preachers tell you that to avoid sin, you have to believe that God said that against sin and you have to avoid sin. It's still by faith. You avoid sin because you believe it will kill you. You trust God that he's got your back and you trust his word and you do it. The Lord has put a plan for every person on earth that they can be saved. And he sent preachers to everybody. People don't always do what they should do. But that doesn't mean the Lord didn't send them. And the Lord sent many people. So if you heard the gospel correctly at all, the Lord did his job. It's up to you to mix faith with it. And it's also possible to be raised in a Christian home, to be the son of a pastor even. A man that loved God and yet not know God for yourself. It's possible to live in this house, hear about the Lord all the time and never mix faith with it. And you'll never know the God your dad's preaching about or the dad your mom is preaching about. It's possible to go to church and hear good preaching all of your life. If you don't mix faith with it, it will do you no good. There are people that were raised by preachers and they don't know how their life could have been in the Lord. I can tell you one better than that. You can be raised in a nation where people love God and are taught of God and still not knowing for yourself. Because if we don't mix faith with what we hear, we won't find out about what's ours in him. God gave us the kingdom through Jesus Christ. It's not just a get out of jail free card. It is the whole kingdom and all that comes with it. Listen at this. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if any shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Even if you did get saved, and if you never took God at his word, you won't know what happens when you do. But the Lord loves us, and his mercy endures forever. He's trying to work with us, and he doesn't have forever to do it. He has to do it before we die. If he can get us saved, it has to be within our lifetime. Once you die and you didn't believe on Jesus, then you're out of God's jurisdiction, and there's nothing he can do about what you chose. If you chose not to be saved, then that's your choice and God will respect it, but you can't go to heaven. And if you die without being saved, you're not in God's jurisdiction and you belong to hell. And that's what I don't want. And that's what every man of God and every woman of God don't want to happen to you. It's too important. God loves us, and his love is ever enduring. Now, everybody is faced with persuasions. I always tell people are like planets. Every planet has its own gravity, just like people have their own persuasion. And this is a day and time where people will persuade you the way that they are persuaded. I tell people also this all the time. Opinions don't count. Many opinions that are shaped by deception from Satan, they don't count. And they cannot help you. And people can be so adamant about what they are persuaded that they need you to believe it too. They want you to believe it. And I don't underestimate people, because people are made in the image of God. So what I do to avoid deception, I study the Word of God. I have to study the Word of God and believe it so that I can live by it. And I receive enough so that I can counter all of the attacks that Satan would send. You know, some preachers preach, they preach the gospel the easy way, but they leave the warfare out of it. And that's not right, because just as sure as you seek God and just as sure as you believe on Jesus and endeavor to do his word, Satan's out there trying to destroy you, to pick your bones. He's trying to destroy your life. There is a persuasion from your friends. There's a persuasion from your family, from your cousins, from the older people in your generation, the younger people in your generations. There's a persuasion from different forms of religion. Even in Christianity, there are different persuasions. There's a destructive persuasion from Satan, and there's a constructive persuasion from God and hearing his word. And everybody wants you to think exactly like they do, even God. But the Lord is not trying to take anything from you. He's trying to help you become all that you can be. And he respects your will. Satan is trying to dominate you and drive you into his corner. You won't be happy. You won't understand why things are going wrong. But he does things in mischief to get you to never be what God created you to be. He leaves your will out of it. He's trying to dominate your will and make you feel strong when you're weak and weak when you're strong, to tempt you away from all that God says and trap you with wrong. But God loves you. And God, he's trying to give you your individual uniqueness back. He's trying to help you see what you can be. If you endeavor to live like him, what he put in you will come out. I'm going to say that again. When you endeavor to do the teachings of Jesus Christ, the things that he taught when he was on the earth as a prophet, speaking to his people and a teacher, speaking and preaching to his people. If you study those things and all the word of God, they are one. From Genesis to Revelation, the plan of God is one. There's an old covenant and a new covenant, but they work together as one. They both have purpose. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law of the Old Testament, and he helps us to embrace the moral law. In fact, when you believe on Jesus Christ and his blood washed away your sins, you get a new heart. And with that new heart, you have new desires, and you have to fill that new heart with God's word and not old thoughts. So as we endeavor to do these things and we live, we go forward, then we learn of him and we find out that there are things that God put in us that we're good at. There are talents that we never tapped into. You find yourself doing things you never thought you'd do. Some people, they didn't do too well in school, but they get saved and they start seeking the Lord. And then they go back to school and start making great grades, A's, B's. And knowledge comes easy to them. Why? Because they gotten rid of the influence of darkness. They've been given a new chance to see things God's way. And they have more to work with. So God is going to always enhance you and bless you and take you forward. Satan's trying to tear you down. And people who think like Satan, they don't have peace, and they want friends. They try to get you to think like them. And if your life is working in God, they get jealous. I told my children, I said, never believe the worst about people. Or person, anybody, because everybody's under satanic attack. But as you seek the Lord, believe the truth about a person. The Lord can show you the truth about a person. Believe what he say, and you will be able to understand where people are coming from. You'll be able to love them where they're at, in spite of how they do you. If they're an enemy, God, you'll learn how to love them and pray for them, even be a blessing to them, like God is doing, and you'll have the wisdom to protect yourself against what they're doing. And that kind of consistent love wins souls. Now you get them saved, they're going to be an asset instead of a danger. Preacher, is it worth it? It's always worth it. Because enemies trying to shut people down, God is trying to build them up. Everybody has their own persuasion. So that means you can't always listen to the crowd. You can't always listen to what people have accepted as true. You have to believe God's word. The Lord will be true to you every day, all the time, throughout your life. He will never be an enemy to you. And if you become an enemy to him, he still loves you. And if there's any hope that he can redeem you, he will. But if you choose the world's way, you also choose the consequences that go with the world. There are people on earth, the Lord's going to have to fight them. Some he will even have to kill. There are evil people just like there are good people. Just like there are loving people. There are evil people out there. And the justice of God will have them to be killed. But he loves them, and if he can save them, he'd rather save them than judge them. See, this is balance. When Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't leave anything out. The warfare is in it. The wisdom of God is in it. How to deal with negative people is in it. How to deal with positive people is in it. When you study these things for yourselves, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and all the scriptures, it shows you how to help and build up mankind. The Lord sent the apostles out in Acts. He sent them to the most strategic places first, where he knew they'd listen. And the enemies always came about trying to tear down what the apostles did. Many times they were Jewish people, and they didn't believe on Jesus, and they fought it. And the Lord had to deal with that problem. But he did it faithfully. And many of them got saved. Some of them didn't get saved because they chose not to. Agrippa said, "Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian." Paul was trying. He said, "Not only do I want to get you saved, but everybody that hear me." That's the heart of God. So if we get to know him, we operate like him. So when people say, "Well, I don't believe it that way," you believe it the way the Word of God says do it. Your life will expose all darkness for what it is. The wisdom of God runs deep. It's true. And if you stick with it, it works. It's not a fairy tale, folks. Satan is not a fairy tale. How much more is Jesus not a fairy tale? He was a real breathing man. He was 100% God and 100% man. He came and he laid his life down that we may live. If we follow him, if we do what he say do, if we trust him, and it's hard to trust somebody you don't know, but as you study his word, trust, faith will remain in you and it will form, and trust will also form. And there's a difference between faith and trust, though they're similar, though they're both believing. When I asked the Lord about this, he said faith is a definer. That's the tool you use to access the kingdom of God. If you need something, you speak God's promise. You speak the word of God. And you redefine and shape the facts on the ground where you are. If you need healing in your body, you speak healing into your body. If you're not saved, you believe God for salvation. And you're redefined as a child of God when you were a child of Satan or a child of the world, which is a child of Satan. Faith is a definer. If you need something in your life, you speak the promise of God and retain it and receive it. Now, trust is reliance. And I said, "Lord, show me that." I knew faith was defined, trust was reliance. I said, "Lord, I want to know. I want to understand. Help me with this. I want to understand it." He said, "Faith is trust before you see. And trust is faith after you've seen." In other words, after God has come and blessed you, he fulfilled his promise just like you believed him to. The next time he say do something, you have a foundation reason to trust him. And that kind of trust is reliance. You know that God's going to move on your behalf before the evidence of everything being fulfilled. So when the Lord, I give you an example. He called you to the ministry. He blessed you for years. And then he has need for you to go to Tuscaloosa and preach and start another church and leave the one you built to somebody else. Now, some people that don't trust God, they'll see that as an unknown. They'll see it as a negative. But people that trust God will see it as promotion, even though they got to start all over from the groundwork and build up. But because they trust God, they take him at his word and they go. And they do a greater work than they did the first time. People that won't trust God, they're going to stay put because it's a comfort zone. And they trust it more than they trust God. It's possible to love God, be saved, be a Christian, to have active faith and working faith, and trust your situation more than you trust your Lord. But when you follow God, you trust him more than everything else. And it's a breeze to take the next step forward. Now, I don't say do things lightly, half-heartedly. I believe in doing things wholeheartedly. So when the Lord tells me to do something, that goes on the top shelf above everything else. That's seeking the kingdom first. If I have the faith to take the next step forward, to go in an unknown, knowing that I can rely on the Lord, knowing that I can trust God in my new situation. That's trust. Vision increases when you do that. Vision is developed faith. You get to know God greater if you go where God sends you. But when you trust your situation more than you trust God, you've done everything necessary to be promoted, but you won't take the next step with Him. So what happens after that, you're stuck in a permissive will of God. You're not sinning. You're still doing the things you used to do, but you're not moving forward. And God is progressive, but you're not progressive if you don't go forward with Him. At the beginning of the broadcast, I talked about different types of ministers, preachers. There are five offices: apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Most people don't know what an apostle is. That's what God called me to do. Apostles do the, I do what God tell me to do. We're a lot like prophets, but He give us assignments, and we do the assignment. I'm always going from one assignment. I do that assignment and do another assignment, whatever He give me to do. And you have to trust God to do that. Prophets, they speak, you know, they speak prophetic words. And pastors, evangelists help call people to get them saved. That's one of the main functions that they do, get people saved. Pastors help people grow. And teachers help people learn God's word. Now, whatever God called you to do, that's what you have an anointing for. The things that pertain to the apostolic ministry God gave me, I don't have to seek God about that because the word of the Lord come to me without me even knowing about what to ask for. So the things that He just give me, that goes on the top shelf. It pertains to what He gave me to do, and I make sure I do it. Whether it's revelation, I get an understanding of it. If it's an instruction, then I do it. The radio broadcast is one of my assignments. The website is assigned, newlivingletters.com and livingletterministries.com. Those were assignments. He gave me writings to write, books to write. Those are assignments. He sent me to people sometime to talk to them. Those are assignments. I take them all serious. And I endeavor to do everything He say do. And I do it the way He say do it. When you're anointed to do something, you have God's ability to do it. Whatever God anoint you to do, be faithful with it. In everything that He give you to do, follow Him. And don't be afraid to take the next step.